First reading is from Exodus chapter 34, verses 29 through 35. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the covenant law in his hands, he was not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken with the Lord. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, his face was radiant, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, so Aaron and all the leaders of the community came back to him, and he spoke to them. Afterward, all the Israelites came to him, and he gave them all the commands the Lord had given him on Mount Sinai. When Moses finished speaking to them, he put a veil over his face. But whenever he entered the Lord's presence to speak with them, he removed the veil until he came out. And when he came out and told the Israelites what he had been commanded, they saw that his face was radiant. Then Moses would put the veil back over his face until he went in to speak with the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Second reading is from 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 12 through chapter 4, verse 6. Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. We are not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to prevent the Israelites from seeing the end of what was passing away. But their minds were made dull. For to this day, the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed, because only in Christ is it taken away. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we command ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers, so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up a high mountain where they were all alone. Then he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And there appear before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say. They were so frightened. Then a cloud appeared and covered them. And a voice came from the cloud, "This is my son, whom I love. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus gave them orders not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Well, this morning, I greet you in the glorious name of Jesus. What a glorious day, right? Well, I'm not talking about the weather. And I'm really not even talking about what happened yesterday afternoon. I'm talking about the glimpse of God's glory that we got in the gospel this morning. Did you see it? Our gospel lesson centered on the transfiguration of Jesus on that mountaintop with 3 of his disciples, Peter, James, and John. Now, Jesus had taken them up to that mountaintop to kind of get away from the crowds, to kind of rest and pray and kind of recharge their batteries, as it were. And while Jesus was praying, his appearance was transformed. Our text tells us, there he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. Now, if you look at Luke's account of this event, Luke says, as he, Jesus, was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became as bright as the flash of lightning. As bright as the flash of lightning. Wow, you know how bright lightning is, right? I mean, you could barely look at it. That's what it was, dazzling. Now, the word transfigure that's used here to describe what occurred to Jesus comes from the Greek word from which we get our word metamorphosis. Metamorphosis. The word literally means changing appearance that comes from within. In other words, change on the inside that's reflected on the outside. It's not just putting on a mask. It's just not putting on bright colored clothes. It's the appearance that was totally different than before. Peter, James, and John saw Jesus' glory shining through his human body. Maybe it was a little bit of the glory that he had before he came down in human form. And maybe it was a little bit of the glory that he would have again as he ascended into heaven. You know, as far as the Gospels tell us, this is the only time that Jesus' glory, his divinity, shone through his earthly body. And it was an example of showing us that he was true God and true man at the same time. This event was a preview of what was to come. You see, about a week before our gospel lesson, Jesus had been speaking with his disciples. And if you go back one chapter from our gospel to chapter 8, Mark tells us this. He says, "Then he, Jesus, began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed, and after 3 days rise again." Notice how Jesus doesn't talk about his death without also talking about his resurrection. Well, this mountaintop experience must have really been a sight to behold. Wouldn't you love to have been there to see that? Man, it's kind of like what happened to Moses. You know, Moses went up onto Mount Sinai to receive the law from God, the Ten Commandments and the other things that God wanted to impart to the Israelites and to us today too. Moses saw God's glory up close, so much so that you remember when he returned down the mountain, as we heard in our first lesson today, he had to wear a veil to cover his face so that, you know, because it continued to glow after being in the presence of Almighty God. Moses didn't want to detract or frighten the Israelites because he had been in the presence of God Almighty. Unfortunately, that veil that was talked about by Moses metaphorically lasts even to today. As Paul pointed out in our second lesson from 2 Corinthians 3, Paul said, "For to this day the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed because only in Christ is it taken away. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away." You see, the Jews have veiled hearts because they have not accepted Jesus as the Messiah. Well, along with Jesus and Moses on that mountaintop was Elijah. Now, Elijah, as we know, was one of the great Old Testament prophets. And God had tasked him to bring warnings to the Israelites because they had continued to break God's law, the law that Moses carried down the mountain from God. Elijah was so well liked by God that, as far as we can tell, he didn't even experience physical death. Because if you read in the second chapter of 2 Kings, it says, as Elijah and his next in line, Elisha, were walking along and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. Elisha saw this and cried out, my father, the chariots and horsemen of Israel. And Elisha saw him no more. And so Peter, James, and John caught a glimpse of the kingdom of God as they saw Jesus speaking with Moses and Elijah on the mountaintop that day. Now, if you read further in the Gospels, it tells us that Moses and Elijah, you know, obviously they had departed the earth many years before. And in their glorified states, if you read Luke, he says that they were talking about Jesus' upcoming departure. His departure. In Greek, that's Exodus. And it's a reference to his soon-to-occur resurrection and departure from his human body and back into heaven with his Father. You see, that shows us that God's plan was known to those in the heavenly realms, as we say. But it's also significant that Moses and Elijah were the two that were there with Jesus. Because, you know, the Jews at the time, they didn't have a gospel record. They had no New Testament that they can read about Jesus and how he fulfilled the prophecies of the Old Testament. But they had the law and the prophets. The first five books of the Bible, the law, and the writings of the prophets. And so that's what they studied. They still do that today. It's called the Torah. Now, our first lesson tells us about how Moses was given the law by God, and that was to tell the Jews and to us how to live, right? As a matter of fact, Moses was so well liked by God that in Deuteronomy 34, it says there, and there has not arisen a prophet since in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. And so Moses represented the law that was given to him by God. And then Elijah represented the prophets, who pointed out that mankind has not kept God's law. But we know that Jesus was more important than either of the other two, because Jesus is the reconciliation of mankind back to God. He is mankind's salvation. Humans are unable to live up to God's standards. And we fail at listening to the warnings that were given through God's prophets. Even today, his prophets today, the warnings to keep God's law. And it's only through Jesus, then, that God's plan to reconcile all people back to him can be fulfilled. It's only through Jesus that we all will be able to escape our sin and that we will live with him for all eternity. It's only through Jesus that we will someday have those glorified bodies like Moses and Elijah showed to the disciples that day. Well, what else happened on the mountaintop that day? As if seeing Jesus and the others standing there in their glorified bodies wasn't enough, a bright cloud came down and covered them, and God himself spoke out of that cloud. This is my beloved Son with whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. God was confirming that Jesus was his Son and why he came. Where have we heard something like that before? At Jesus' baptism. Because if you go back in Mark to chapter 1 of Mark, we read this account. It says, at that time Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove, and a voice from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." Twice now, God himself has spoken to those present about Jesus. First time at his baptism, where God confirmed that Jesus was his Son and basically introduced him to the world. And then today, in our gospel account. And we see that Jesus' glory that was showing during that day points directly to his resurrection and the glory that he would have after his resurrection. But before his resurrection, he had to go through his passion. And this is a perfect introduction to our season of Lent. Lent is a time to remember that passion account of Jesus. Lent begins this following Wednesday, Ash Wednesday, when we'll start our journey with Jesus to the cross. Today's lesson, yes, we can see the glory that is at the end of the passion. And, you know, we also see good old impetuous Peter. He misses the point, as he usually does. Peter was living for the moment. Peter was, you know, he couldn't see the big picture. He, you know, just 8 days before this, Jesus had told them that he was going to die, but in 3 days he would be raised again and then return to his glory. But Peter wanted to skip all that. No, he wanted Jesus to remain there. He wanted to build 3 tents so they could stay there in their glorified state. He didn't understand that Jesus had to complete God's plan for salvation by going to the cross. Fortunately, God in his wisdom interrupted Peter by coming down in the cloud and speaking to all of them, "This is my beloved Son with whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him." You know, it's kind of like God saying to Peter, "Jesus knows my plan. He told you what was going to happen. Do what he tells you." Well, after that, Jesus was back in his human form. And the other two had left. And Jesus was back with his disciples. And you know, it would be years before the disciples that were there that day talked about or wrote about that experience. Peter went on to become a great disciple of the Jews, great apostle. And he wrote about it in his second letter. He said, "For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him from the majestic glory, 'This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased,' we ourselves heard this very voice, born from heaven. For we were there with him on that holy mountain." Eyewitness testimony. Peter finally understood. Peter finally got it. So how does all this relate to us today? Well, you know, I hope we get it too. We will one day be with Jesus in his glory, and we will experience that transformation just like Moses, just like Elijah did. But just like Jesus' glory can't be separated from his passion and death, we too will experience trials in our life. And unless he comes before we die, we will experience physical death too. And just like we will share in his sufferings, we will also share in his glory. As Peter wrote in his first letter, he said, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice, insofar as you share in Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. Hallelujah to that. But even until then, while we're still in this life, we can be transfigured too, or we can begin the process. How do we do that? Well, when we receive faith in Jesus and, you know, we allow his Holy Spirit to work in us, to work in our lives, to turn us away from our sins and do what he wants us to do, we will be changed. We will be changed on the inside and begin to reflect his glory on the outside. In other words, we take to heart what God himself said about Jesus. This is my beloved Son with whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. When we do that, God can begin the transfiguration of us, inside us, to show others on the outside the glory of Jesus. As Paul said in our second lesson, and we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. We begin to reflect God's glory to those with whom we live, to those with whom we work, to those with whom we interact on a daily basis. We become a new creation. We will be with Jesus in his death, the death to our old sinful selves, and we will be alive with Jesus in his resurrection, a new person, a transfigured person. As Paul wrote in Romans 12, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Let's not make the mistake that Peter did on the mountaintop that day. Yes, it was an awe-inspiring sight for Peter, James, and John to see. And as dazzling as a sight that must have been, it's not the basis of our belief in Jesus, is it? Peter wanted to hold on to Jesus' glory here on this earth, but it wasn't the fulfillment of God's plan. What the disciples saw that day didn't last. It didn't last because it wasn't the final chapter. Jesus went on to the cross and fulfilled God's plan for our salvation that would last through all eternity. Make no mistake about it. If you believe in Jesus as your Savior, and you welcome his Holy Spirit to work in you, to work in your lives, to be with you, you'll be in the glory of Jesus. We'll be like Moses and Elijah, transfigured to live with him in all eternity. Now, do you see why I said this is a glorious day? We caught a glimpse of God's divinity, of God's glory. That glory that he wants for our lives, for this life, and the glory that we're going to have with him in the next life. And all I can say to that is hallelujah. 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 Amen.